So several weeks ago, I was at my son's baseball game, and this question was asked because we don't try to use crass language around here. The point of the series is not to be like overdramatic and really try to stir up some pots by throwing in that expletive in there. But I wasn't the one who asked this question. It was a friend of mine who asked the question, and that's just how the world speaks. You know, that's how he speaks, and so he asked this question, and. It's almost as if a lot of people are asking, what's the greater meaning behind all of it? Is there any good to what's coming out of this? Is there any point? Is there any purpose? Is there any meaning that's overarching the last 18 months, the pandemic, the racial injustices, the political upheaval, the natural disasters, the weather, the world as the way it is right now? And so we thought, hey, let's ask, is there anything good coming out of this? How is God at work amidst the last 18 months? And so last week, we had an opportunity to sit down with a friend of ours, David Garzon, and hear his story about how he got to a point of being absolutely broken during the last 18 months, and he had to surrender everything, and how God met him in that surrender and really began to bring hope into his life and restored him and redeemed him. Really beautiful story. You can go back on social media and watch that if you'd like, or listen to it on our webpage or our podcast. And today I have an opportunity then to invite my dear friend Michelle Ford, and she's going to share her story of what the last 18 months has meant to her. Now, Michelle, we first met Michelle several years ago because our son needed. Yeah, are you going to go into this? Okay, never mind then. Hey, I'm going to let her say it. Would you please welcome our dear friend Michelle to the platform?
Thank you for saying good morning. That makes it better. I'm going to preface with this is the first time I have said my story from beginning to end. So I'm going to do the best that I can. I want to start by reading you lyrics from one of my favorite Danny Gokey songs called Wanted. I was there the moment that it happened, but you couldn't see me through the pain. I caught every tear as they were falling when you lost your heart that day. Yeah, you lost your heart that day. And now you only see through broken lenses, trying to keep your head above the shame. You believe the lie that I am distant, but I hold you every day. Yeah, I hold you every day. If you could see it through my eyes, you'd know that you are wanted. You'd know that you are wanted. And if you let my love inside, I'll show you that you're wanted. I'll show you that you're wanted. I think I can safely say we've all had our moments of grief in our lives. Loss is hard no matter what form it is in. It's hard to find your strength and it's hard to keep moving forward. Today I'm going to share with you my story. I have always been very open and vocal about all that I've endured. My belief is that I can't let the battles I've fought go unseen, because someone out there might need to see that it does get better, and that though some of the grief you endure will never end, it will become different. You will be able to move forward. I also want to preface by saying there is no timeline with grief and no right way to work through it. Restoration has become a big part of my life, and I consider all of you part of my restoration family. Sometimes we have to let each other in to understand where we're coming from. Though I've shared my story before, I've never shared the entire thing from start to finish. I know God placed me before all of you today for a reason. I just have to trust him and go for it. First, I'm going to start by telling you that I will not be telling my story in order. Most of you could probably care less, but if you know me well enough, then you know how hard that is for me. I am a woman of order and organization. Funny that's how I decided to start, because that's exactly how I became close with the Manders. I am a teacher, and the Manders reached out to me for a little help with Ethan. This was before he was placed in my class. I can honestly say those few weeks I spent with Ethan were some of my favorite memories with him. We were supposed to be focusing on organizing his work, his cubby area, and just making sure he was all set for the week. I mean, we did that, but we also talked a lot. I soon learned how neat this kid really was, and all that he was wanting to do in this great big world. He had big ideas and wasn't going to let anything stop him. Soon, Ethan no longer needed my weekly help after school, but we had made our connection, and inside I knew that this family was always going to be a special part of my life. The next school year, this proved to be true. After being out of my own personal classroom for 2 years, I was moving back. I had just endured a very painful time in my life and was scared. I knew that I could teach. I knew that I could manage a classroom. I just wasn't sure who I was anymore. I will go into more detail on this later, but Ethan was placed in my class. So there you have it. The journey with the Manders began. But once again, God had much bigger plans. I had no idea what was to come from this wonderful connection. So let's go back. The year was 1980. Kidding. Let's talk about how my journey with my faith began. I was raised Catholic. I always loved church. From the time I can remember, I would be so excited to go to Mass. I would beg my mom to let us sit in the front pews so I could see the people. If there was a band, I remember not being able to contain myself as I wanted to see what songs they'd sing. My parents had 4 kids. They somehow managed to get all of us fed, dressed, and in the car in time for church. When we not only were dressed, but we were dressed to the nines. I was not a fan of dresses myself, but I put up with them because I knew how much it made my mom happy. Now, the shining of the shoes before we left each week, that was my favorite part. I think it was my mom's secret way of keeping me quiet, if even for a little bit. I'd sit on the floor with the polish and go to town on those Buster Browns. Sadly, my toddler years were spent in the nursery. You see, I talked a little too much. Shocking, I know. My mom said I would turn around and hold court with anyone who would make eye contact. She says now that she regrets taking me out because I wasn't hurting anyone, and it probably made a lot of people happy to have a chatty toddler staring at them. I made all of my sacraments and loved each step. My family always jokes and called me Sister Michelle. My dad was for sure I was going to become a nun. For as much as I loved church, I was always lost. I didn't understand what was going on. I felt a disconnect. When I moved into my own place, the very first thing I did was find my own parish. I was so excited. I remember thinking that this would be where I'd find my place in the church and make those connections I so wanted. I enjoyed it. I went often, but there was always something missing. This was nothing that my parish was or wasn't doing. What I later learned was that it just wasn't where God meant me to be. He had bigger plans, and more importantly, he had a specific family he wanted me to be with. Last week, when David spoke, I heard the same thing in my mind again. Restoration is where you belong. David's story started so much like mine. We can all remember where we were when the world shut down due to COVID. Am I right? I was in much the same place that David was, and I don't think Ross had any idea when he asked me to speak today. I was also in therapy, very intense therapy. I had been diagnosed a few months prior with complex PTSD and OCD. The therapy I was in was 2 hours, 2 times a week. It literally took everything out of me, and then I'd get up in the morning and go to school. When March came around and COVID closed our world, I did not feel comfortable continuing my therapy while being isolated home alone, so I stopped. My therapist agreed this was a smart choice and made herself readily available should I have needed her. So March, I was home. We all were. I was alone. Here's the thing. I handled it like a champ. I can do hard things. I am actually really great when a crisis occurs. It all goes back to my past. That fight or flight response kicks in, and I am set. I had parents to shop for. I had students to teach and nieces and nephews to FaceTime. People needed me, and they needed me to be strong. The weekdays were easy as far as keeping myself busy. School was so stressful, and there was just so much work to do that I'd easily spend 12 to 14 hours a day creating activities and work for my kids. I held daily Zoom lunches and weekly Friday night Zoom parties, where I invited all of my students to go ahead and bring their siblings. I told the parents this was their time to go hide in a closet and enjoy some peace. Those were some of my favorite lockdown moments. I never thought I'd say I had favorites from such a dark time, but those kids were my light. The weekends were tough, especially Sundays. I decided to see if my church had an online option, and they didn't. They just didn't have the capability to do so at the time. I was on Facebook and saw that Restoration was live. I gave it a whirl, and when I closed that laptop afterward, I heard, "Restoration is where you belong." I was blown away. The music, the message, and just the overall time spent together, even though we weren't. I quickly sent a text to Emily and let her know how much the service had impacted me. Being Emily, she replied with her sweet thank you and that she'd pass those words of encouragement on to Ross. Inside, I was thinking, no, you have no idea what Restoration just did for me. I attended online service for a year, and each week I felt more and more connected. I did a summer women's series called Tables, Chips, and Raincoats. I loved it. One week I decided I was ready. I filled out the online card to join, and when that little teal mug showed up, I was never so excited to get mail. Finally, a year later, I walked in the doors of Restoration. Before that even happened, I was welcomed with a Zoom meeting to tell me all about Restoration. That first service there were people greeting me at the door. Everyone knew my name. Everyone said how happy they were that I was there. The music started, and I cried. I always wanted a church family, but never seemed to fit anywhere. I have learned in life that when things don't work, it's because that's not God's plan. Sometimes that is really, really hard to accept, but I do my best to follow his lead. He's never led me astray. After the service, my Ethan took me on a tour of the building. It was quite surreal. A child I once guided was now guiding and welcoming me. God sure knew what he was doing, placing the Manders in my life. After my tour, Emily and I chatted a bit. She introduced me to Kate, and, well, let's just say the next week I signed up to teach kids ministry. This summer was the happiest I've ever been at church. Vacation Bible school. Goodness gracious. Honestly, if you are ever considering volunteering for VBS or sending your child, do it. I can't explain what that week is like other than it's pure God magic. Walking into VBS each night just filled my heart with such joy. The waves, the hugs, and the singing. So much singing. I think it also meant so much being an educator after all we had just endured. I could stand here and talk for hours about what this has been like to have your entire profession change overnight. About the constant stress and worry that you're not doing enough for your kids. About the endless time spent on a computer. About how much I can't stand to hear, "Mute your mic," or, "Okay, I'm going to share my screen now." Being a teacher for me is a calling. It's my purpose. It's what I believe God placed me here for. My teaching philosophy has never centered on just academics. I also want to make sure I'm helping my kids be their best version of themselves. Let me tell you, that is really hard to do through a computer screen. But like I said, give this girl a crisis and she becomes a rock star. VBS has had the biggest impact on me so far. It was like our own mini staycation with Jesus as our tour guide. "You are treasured" are words that I still repeat to myself when things get tough. It's so true. We are all treasured, and Restoration makes it a point to not only tell you that, but for the people here, make you believe it. This was not easy for me. I would not have believed those words years ago. Before the pandemic, literally 2 months before, I had a nervous breakdown in the nurse's office at school. This was why I was in such intense therapy. It made no sense to me why then my body decided to freak out. The traumas I endured were so long ago, but I later learned that the smallest trigger can set your mind off. I was hanging on by a thread and didn't know it. The sudden loss of a friend pushed me over the edge. I never was a girl who memorized parts of scripture. I loved to hear them, and I believed the words. But honestly, the words I took with me during that crazy time were Ross's. He really had no idea just how much he was impacting me. Every Sunday, I would wake up, eat my breakfast, then go to church. You see, even after the pandemic started to slow a bit, I was still not quite myself. December 2020, I had something happen that sent me over the edge. I panicked. I was so afraid that I was going to go back to that dark place again. I prayed, I listened to worship music, and I asked God to just be with me. I took so many of Ross's words with me through those dark moments. I constantly texted Emily, asking her for the names of songs she sang as their words inspired me. I was strong, I taught, I smiled, I did all that was needed of me and gave all that people needed. But in the end, I knew it. This girl was not okay. I took the brave step and called my therapist and told her I was ready to do the hard work. I was not only ready, but I was willing to do it while I was still teaching and living in this crazy world. I am proud to say that after 3 months of intense therapy, she felt I could be released. I will always have work to do on myself, but I believe we all do. So this is where I go backwards a bit. This is where I tell you a story. Some of this is really heavy stuff, but I believe God wants me to share, and I've always believed that with all I've been through. From as far back as I can remember, I had my life all mapped out. I knew exactly what I wanted, and I was so excited to have it all someday. Every single action I took in my life was for my future self, and most importantly, my future children. I was not perfect, but for the most part, I was a pretty decent human being. My faith was shaken up a bit when I lost my Aunt Joyce suddenly from cancer. I remember that being the first time that I questioned God. I felt really guilty for feeling that way, but I was upset he took her so soon and without me getting a proper goodbye. So, back to that plan I had. It went something like this. Have kids. Yep, that was about it. There was no big white dress, no huge wedding, no college, none of that. I just wanted kids and lots of them. I wasn't against getting married or going to college. I just never planned that part. I guess I figured that would be like my little surprises along the way. I think that was the first time as a young adult that I gave it to God and knew he'd guide me to where my path was going to lead. When you're 22, your whole life is about to start. The possibilities are endless. In my case, 22 is the age that I lost who I was in so many ways. At the age of 21, I started to feel sick quite often. It actually started when I was 18, but everyone said it was just anxiety. By 21, it got so bad that I was now also in physical pain. The pain seemed to be located in the same area of my body and was only getting worse, my lower right side near my pelvic area. One night, while sitting with my mom, she noticed a bump on my belly near my hip bone. When I told her that I really was in pain and that's where it was from, she and my dad immediately called the doctor and told them I needed to be x-rayed at the hospital ASAP. Mind you, this was after me going to the doctor monthly, complaining of pain and being dismissed. The short version of the story is that I ended up needing surgery to remove a cyst. When I woke up, I was told they had to cut me and that I had severe endometriosis. This diagnosis, along with the massive scar tissue, would make my becoming pregnant difficult. I didn't cry. I didn't let it win. I prayed to God and asked him to just give me the strength to fight, and if he did that much, then I would figure out the rest. My friends, I fought for 13 years, and then one day, I couldn't do it anymore. At that point, I had already endured 5 major surgeries, thousands of doctor's visits, thousands of scans and hospital visits, taken every medication they told me to, and more. I did everything I could to be able to one day hold my baby and say, I fought for you and I never gave up. In March 2015, I called my doctor and told her it was time and that I couldn't do it anymore. I was so sick at this point that she didn't even try to argue with me. They were actually concerned something was going, more was going on, and very eager to operate. On April 14th, 2015, at the age of 35, I had a total hysterectomy. Sorry. My plan, my dream, all I ever wanted was gone in a matter of hours. I told you I was going to go out of order a bit. So let's go back to that first surgery. I was in college and about to start student teaching. My whole life was literally about to start. All that hard work, and I was about to get into the classroom. Then the pain hit, and the doctor called and said that I had to drop out of school and have emergency surgery. Okay, no biggie, I got this, I'm young, I can bounce back. I did. I spent that spring recovering and was pumped to get back to school in the fall for my final semester. Just log in your mind that with what I'm about to tell you, that I was 22, newly diagnosed with an incurable illness, and still in immense pain. Fall 2002, I was back at college. I had my student teaching placements all set, and I was ready. I was not going to let what had happened ruin my spirit. At this point, I was a little farther from God than I was comfortable with. I ignored it, though, and just did my best. August 2002, I met someone who changed my life in an instant. From the minute I saw him and our gazes connected, I knew I had to know everything about him. He was a friend of my roommate's. She said he told her that he felt the same way I did. His name was Charlie. He was extremely shy. I was able to remedy that, though, when it was just the two of us. He was 2 years younger than me and so ready for his future. He had big plans. He was a very motivated person. He and I spent every possible minute together that we could. As soon as I was home from student teaching, he would run, yes, run, up to my apartment. He never took the shuttle bus. He said he didn't trust that it would get him there fast enough. He didn't want to waste any time. We would sit on the floor and talk for hours. He'd help me cut out the materials for my kindergartners and just ask me question after question about my life. We'd look through pictures and share stories and take endless walks. We often would talk about our faith and how important it was to both of us. I felt connected to him in a way I have never felt with any other guy I had dated. In 2 short months, we knew we wanted to one day spend forever together. Funny, that wasn't part of my plan, but like I said before, I was leaving that stuff up to God. A few weeks after he and I had talked about marriage, he told me he needed to share one thing about his past with me. Because this is Charlie's past, I will not be sharing what he told me. All I can say is once Charlie and I discussed this part of his life, we both agreed that moving towards marriage would not be a good choice. We sat in that spot and cried. Little did I know that would be the last time I saw him. One month later to the day, November 15th, 2002, Charlie took his life. I cannot describe to you what it feels like to go to bed one person and then waking up knowing you'll never be that person again. At this point, I can honestly say I was the farthest from my faith ever. I gave up. I was angry with God and so confused. On the day we buried Charlie, I got a call from the family I nannied for, who really is way more than that, that the new baby had arrived a month early. He was small, but he was healthy. They needed me and asked me if I could come live with them. I graduated college a few weeks later and drove right to my boys' house. Helping raise Ryan and Jacob gave me purpose. I had two little ones that needed me. I never dealt with what happened. I didn't know how. I was just a kid. I figured that I did something wrong and I deserved all that I got. I felt this way until just a few years ago. I felt I let God down. I lost a lot. You see, the year Ethan Mander's parents called and asked me to help him out was also the year I returned to school after I had to leave for my emergency hysterectomy. My school's amazing and wanted to help me, so they combined my class with another teacher's, but this also meant that I lost my classroom. That was enough loss for me. At that point, I felt I had lost it all. The ability to have children, someone I loved enough to start a future with, and now my classroom. Ah, but those Manders are quite persistent. They listened to God. They knew exactly what they were doing, even if they didn't. You see, restoration was my restoration. I needed something to remind me that even out of dark can come light, that even the most broken souls can be restored. Friends, I was living a life full of guilt for which I had no reason to feel. I was broken. I was grieving. I was haunted by my past. I needed to feel saved. I needed to feel connected to my faith again. I just didn't know that's what I needed, and I had no clue where to turn. And as I finish, I'd like to invite the band up. Who would have thought that a global pandemic would be what it took for me to take that step to free myself of all I held on to? Who would have thought that during one of the darkest times in our world, I'd find the strength to face my past? I am standing before you today to tell you that there is hope, there is light, it can get better. I'm not going to lie and tell you that all that pain goes away. What I'm going to tell you is that VBS was right on point. You are treasured. We are given this life to live in order to be the best version of ourselves that we can be. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to face challenges, but we are so loved. I can tell you that I know I am only here today because of God's love for me. You have only heard 1/4 of my story. If I were to tell you everything, well, let's just say we'd need a few more Sundays. You see, the Manders thought they needed my help for their son. They thought they needed me to organize them. Funny thing is, much like my words today, no matter how much you prepare in life, you can't be organized and ready for everything. You have to trust God's plan. You have to rely on his promises. I shared today because Ross came to me, and I realized it was like everything coming full circle. I believe we've all lived through many pandemics, only they are our own personal pandemics, ones that leave you with your own stories of strength. Some of you might be going through one right now. To that I say this. I stand before you a 41-year-old woman who's been through quite a lot, but inside I carry that 22-year-old girl. I take her with me to remind me that I am one strong person and that God will always provide. I also want you to look around at the faces before you. These are the people who truly care about you. Never do you have to feel alone. The definition of restoration is the action of returning something to a former place, owner, or condition. Thank you, restoration, for returning my faith to me.